The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran and told the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, who has triumphed over all death, darkness, and destruction, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed! Alleluia!
On this day that does not get old, April 16th, 2006. Do you remember what happened on that day? April 16th, 2006. No, April did not have her first baby on that day. It wasn't a national event or anything like that. It was Easter Day, April 16, 2006. Do you remember what you did on that day, on Easter Day? I knew somebody was going to say church. You're just saying that because I'm a priest and you think you're going to get bonus points or something. Bonus, that's right, absolutely. So on that day, April 16, 2006, it was quite a memorable day for me. Let me explain. I was in my second year of seminary. That really means baby priest school, all right? And after being up since 3 a.m., yes, 3 a.m. on Easter Day, to get ready for the Easter Vigil service, that was to begin at 4.07 a.m., precisely. That's right, not 4 a.m., but 4.07 a.m. My seminary had this tradition of starting the Easter Vigil at a time that would allow the sun to begin appearing up over and through the stained glass window behind the altar right when we started the blessing of over the bread and the wine at communion. So that meant that and that's toward the end of the service, so that meant everything before the service had to be timed meticulously. So that's why we had to start precisely at 4.07 a.m. It was a real downer when it was a cloudy day, and we spent all that time worrying about when the sun was going to appear through the stained glass window. Later that day, in the evening, some friends and I went out to eat for Easter. All of us were just a little sleep deprived, right? After getting up before the crack of dawn, and after a long week of services. Following dinner, my friend Joseph and I had to go back to the seminary to bake communion bread for the following week. So at my seminary, they had a very specific recipe, and we used regular loaf bread for communion, all right? So we get back, we decide to make the bread in his apartment because I didn't have an oven in what the seminary liked to call a residence hall, but it was really a dorm, all right? They just didn't want to call it that. So we went over to his place. We had the recipe. We had all the ingredients. And then we had to stop right there. We realized that neither one of us really had baked bread before. That was kind of why we decided to bake bread during Easter week. I'm not quite sure on Easter Day, but that's what we did. So we had to do something about it. And Easter week brought in a lot of extra visitors. So we had this pressure to make the bread extra good. In some ways, the level of pressure was as though we were on one of those baking shows. It was very stressful. Plus, our liturgics professor, who was also the dean of the chapel, enjoyed focusing on every detail regarding worship. Virtually everything related to worship, she was going to assess. We decided that we would bake the bread to be so perfect. So we're in his apartment, we're baking, we're trying to figure out what the recipe means. There were words in the recipe that we didn't know, we had to look up. And this was before all the do-it-yourself stuff on YouTube was actually on the internet. There were techniques we never heard of, something about letting the dough rise a couple times or something like that. I still don't know what that really means. We did our best, all right? We formed the dough into these beautiful discs, 5 inches in diameter, according to the instructions. We put them on the baking sheet. We opened the oven door, and we were relieved because we felt heat. My friend Joseph never used the oven before in that apartment, so we were glad to feel the heat. So I put the baking sheet in. I closed the door. The door does not close. The baking sheets that we had bought the day before were too long for the efficiency size oven. So this is already a disaster, right? So we decided, okay, we'll go use the student kitchen oven across the parking lot, all right? And that oven was suspect. Let's just leave it at that, all right? So we run across the parking lot in the rain, mind you, and we didn't have anything to cover the dough. It was bad. So we get over there. We put the dough in the oven. They bake. We pull them out. They did rise, by the way, because it is Easter and they should rise because that's what things do on Easter. But we pulled them out, and they were not the pretty loaves that many of our seminary classmates made. They looked more like biscuits that you would get from your local country diner, all right? And this was going to be our communion bread for the entire week, supposedly. So, but this is what we had to use. We didn't have the energy, we didn't have the ingredients, we didn't have the time, really, to figure out how to make another batch of communion bread. All the stores were closed. It was also Passover, so we couldn't rely on the Jewish grocery stores to stay open. We had to use our biscuit communion bread, all right? So the next day, we see our communion bread on the altar, and guess who is leading worship that day? Yes, our liturgics professor and the dean of the chapel. Of all the priests on the seminary staff, she had to be the one to lead worship that day. We were mortified, needless to say. Following the service, we heard her shoes clicking on the floor. That was her signature walk. She was walking towards us. We were concerned that she thought that our communion bread was actually a chapel prank. We were notorious for pulling pranks on this particular professor. She was still getting over the time, the group of students that dumped gelatin in the baptismal font overnight. And that's the baptismal font we use to dip our hands into to make the sign of the cross. And we figured it out that she would be the first one to dip her hands that day. She was less than amused. So she was still getting over that. So we thought she was thinking this communion bread had to be another prank. But to our surprise, she chuckled. And then she said, "So about that communion bread." And we're like, "Yes." And we're thinking, it's coming. It's coming. Oh, no. She said, what happened? So then we explained in great detail what happened to the communion bread. And after snickering, she said, well,